broke my heart, man. You broke it. It's in pieces.
I'm so sorry about that. I didn't mean for it to go down this way.
If you missed the news, folks, welcome into Sports Talk.
It's not you, it's me.
Oh, you're giving... Hey, that's my line. If you missed the news, folks, this week, Marcus Jackson, and welcome into Sports Talk, is leaving us for greener pastures, apparently, up in Chicago. And today marks the second to final show. And why don't we just be real for a moment?
Penultimate show.
That's right, the penultimate show. You wordsmith, you. Let's just be real. We are making a move downtown next week. And hopefully, if all things go according to plan. And we were supposed to be in the same room, desk mates. And if I'm the problem, we could have just talked this out. You don't have to do all passive aggressive and just leave.
Well, 2 hours a week and knowing that you don't shower on a regular basis, I didn't want to be stuck with you for 9 hours a day in that room up there.
You know what? Some of the natural oils that come out after that, if you don't shower, take care of the cleaning issue. Hey, welcome in. Good to see y'all. Good to have you here, Marcus, I should say. Good to have you all with us. We are headed up until 6 o'clock and basketball media day. Plenty to dive into from that in just a little bit. Scott Ritchie will be joining us. We get to the headlines, though. It is playoff baseball for the Cubs right now. They are playing the Washington Nationals. They trail 1-0 in the fifth inning. Dusty Baker, was he being conniving? Or did things suddenly just start to work out because Steven Strasburg is the surprise starter for today after Dusty said yesterday he's under the weather because of the mold in Chicago? You know what? If you're going to move up to Chicago, you got to watch out for that mold.
I got to deal with the mold, I know. There's probably a little bit of gamesmanship there, but I don't think the Cubs were too surprised to learn today that Strasburg was going to pitch. And I saw someone today said that the Nationals could have avoided a lot of this controversy or whatever it became by saying that he's sick right now, we're not sure if he's gonna be able to pitch. If he can, he will. If not, we'll go with Tanner Roark. But they made it. He's got mold and he's declining to accept the ball and all this and that, and here we are on Thursday and Wednesday and he's pitching.
I don't know if we can trust Dusty Baker anymore to manage pitchers in the playoffs. Steven Strasburg is on the mound and he's shutting out the Cubs so far.
Don't sound bitter at all about that.
He left that legacy in Chicago, but I think he did more good than bad. But, at the end of the day, you're measured sort of what you do in the playoffs, as evidenced by the Boston Red Sox, who today announced the firing of John Farrell. After all the Red Sox have done is back-to-back division series appearances.
It's not good enough anymore.
It's not good enough for those folks in Boston, apparently. They announced the move less than 48 hours after the Red Sox were eliminated. His contract had been scheduled to run through the 2018 season. He managed the team to its eighth World Series title in 2013, his first season. What have you done for me lately? I mean, what if the Cubs get bounced in the playoffs, which is very possible? What if they miss the playoffs then next year, let's just say? Should Joe Maddon be fired? I mean, come on.
You're right. I mean, that's just kind of the world we live in these days where it's like, what have you done for me lately, I guess? And everybody wants to win now and they want to win often and there's no patience anymore. I don't think so. Now, that being said, though, Joe Maddon's been questioned a lot, since last World, including the World Series last year. He's been questioned a lot on a lot of decisions. So I wonder if they don't win it this year and that continues next year and he's kind of defiant and wanting to do his thing, then maybe it'd be justifiable. I know he brought the city its first championship in 108 years and all that, but in this climate, I wouldn't be surprised.
How did you feel as a Sox fan when Ozzie Guillen was fired?
I think Ozzie kind of wore his thing out, though, because, he was a different cat. He was always stirring things up. And I appreciated the way he did it when things were going good, because he'd always take the pressure off the players. He'd say something stupid so that we're not talking about Jermaine Dye going 1-for-16 or, Jim Thome, struggling a little bit. Like, he'd bring the focus on himself. So I think that was good. But I think he kind of got a little full of himself at times, and I think maybe at that point it was time for him to go. Now I wouldn't be mad if he Rick Renteria is doing a great job and he might very well be the guy to lead us to another World Series. But if for whatever reason they decided to part ways with Rick Renteria, I wouldn't be mad if Ozzie came back, because you'd hope that maybe he learned some things from his first time around and would be able to channel whatever good that he was able to bring back.
All right, well, the big news of the day was media day for Illinois basketball, but at the same time, news coming out that the FBI digging deeper into Oklahoma State and what's going on there. A New York grand jury is asking for documents from Oklahoma State University related to actual or potential NCAA violations by the men's basketball team. The Oklahoman reports that the subpoena is related to the ongoing college basketball bribery scandal that led to the arrest of several assistant coaches, including Oklahoma State's Lamont Evans, who's a former assistant to Illinois coach Brad Underwood. The grand jury is also asking for Evans' personnel file. It says OSU must turn over the documents by Tuesday or have a representative travel to New York to testify to the grand jury. Brad Underwood today, speaking to the media for Media Day, addressed that without being prompted right out of the gate.
It's great to be here. It's always an exciting time when we get a few days into practice and we know that the season is quickly approaching. As I made a statement a few weeks ago in regards to situation that was that had transpired in college basketball. As many of you know, and I know nothing else other than what you've read, I think as expected, there was a the federal FBI, I guess, was doing an investigation into Oklahoma State. So I know what you guys know on that, and you know, I think it was to be expected when with what came out a couple of weeks ago. So,
Brad Underwood's opening remark, and then from there he went on to talk about the team for several more minutes, and we'll get into that. But we welcome in the beat writer for the News Gazette covering Illinois basketball, Scott Ritchie. And Scott, what I was a little bit surprised with is he made that opening comment that we just heard, but then never addressed it again. Nobody asked him to address it again. Do you think we'll be asking more out of Brad Underwood in the coming days?
I mean, I think you probably would assume so. He mentioned that this wasn't entirely unexpected. And, you know, nothing from the initial reports from that FBI investigation or even in today's news with the grand jury in New York looking for more out of Oklahoma State, was his name ever mentioned. I would imagine the documentation that Oklahoma State provides will have Brad Underwood's name in it. His name will come up in conjunction with some of this. I mean, there's no one knows anything at this point, you know, how far this will go. But you know, because of his relationship with Lamont Evans, Brad Underwood will probably be looked at.
I mean, it's natural that, I mean, if everything that, I mean, the number of things they are asking for, it's pretty comprehensive. So one way or another, he's going to be looked at. So the question is what kind of involvement? I don't sense a guy here that is nervous about his job right now or the implications of this.
No. I mean, he was the Brad Underwood that I've, you know, spoken with, you know, several times, you know, over the last, you know, few months. I mean, I didn't sense any change in him today or even, a week in. A half ago or so when practice started and he spoke with us for the first time. But it's, again, you know, this was the initial, you know, arrest and what have you is just the tip of the iceberg with this. I mean, there's no telling how far or deep it'll go, but I mean, it's not going to be a one-hit thing for sure.
Scott, Media Day is one of those days where you get an update on practice, you get to talk to the players a little bit about how things are going. What did you learn about the current team going into this season from today's festivities?
I mean, I guess maybe the one thing that stuck out to me early, and Brad Underwood, you know, mentioned this, was, you know, he felt that the 9 practices that they had had up until today, you know, they got their 10th in this afternoon, that he considered them 9 for 9 on good practices. And with a lot of new players and a new system, I guess I was surprised that, you know, he felt as strongly, you know, about the way that the Illini have played that he considered them, you know, 9 for 9 on good days. I mean, I don't think that will probably continue. I mean, there's a bad day lurking, I'm sure. I mean, that's true for every team, but he was very positive about the work ethic his team had shown. He mentioned the energy, you know, from the freshmen, you know, multiple times. I mean, he kind of countered that with, you know, they're still freshmen and they don't know a lot yet, but they were playing hard, and that's what may have stuck out to him. And I was, and that's a positive sign, you know, still a month away from the season opener.
Guys, both of you have been around a few basketball media days. This one, to me, I mean, this was the first extensive media availability for Brad. He's had a few over the summer, but this length of one, to me, it's just a very different tone than the one that John Gross set when he had these types of events. What were your takeaways on how Brad Underwood approached this kind of thing?
I mean, he's very comfortable talking about himself or his team or his system. And I think that showed today. I mean, he doesn't really dodge, questions. I mean, he did some a week and a half ago about this investigation, but I mean, I would do the same. I mean, there's only
you're
so
being
much.
Investigated. I'm just kidding.
About,
Scott.
About no. What, Scott?
Yeah.
Tell us.
I'm afraid I can't shed any more detail on that. But I mean,
see, yeah, he's right. He would do the same thing.
He's very open with his opinions on his team, and nothing was different today than in the five or six or seven other times that I've spoken with him since March.
Well, Scott, I know you got a lot to get to in processing media day and all that you'll be writing for the website and paper tomorrow. Appreciate a little bit of time.
And no problem.
Scott Ritchie covers Illinois basketball. Do you remember your first media days?
Yeah, I think it was John's first year. John Gross's first year here, and I covered that.
I mean, he brings so much energy. John Gross does.
Yeah, he really does. And I just remember those things, like, I transcribe everything after it's done. Is at least 40 minutes every time, and that's a lot of typing and listening to quotes and all that stuff. So it was always a lot. I don't know how long Brad went for today. And then you go into the gym and you talk to every different player, and you're trying to do all these different things and different little featurey type things. So it's a long, kind of grueling day. Then you do it all again next week at the Big Ten Media Day.
Well, I had a sit down with Brad Underwood during Media Day today. I'll bring you that in just a little bit. We'll hear some comments from others as well as we move along here on Sports Talk. Update on the Cubs and the Nationals. They're going in the bottom of the sixth. No score change. It's still Washington 1, Cubs nothing. You've got Sports Talk here on a Wednesday.
If you're looking for podcasts of all our on-air interviews, you can find them at WDWS.com, and you can also subscribe in iTunes.
.526 on Sports Talk. Scott Beatty and Marcus Jackson here with you. If you want to jump in with anything that's going on today on your mind sports-wise, you can do so. Call us 356-9397. Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. The head of the Illinois Quarterback Club is Todd Lindsay. He joins us here for a moment. It is a home game week. Todd, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you, Scott?
Doing well. The Illini hosting Rutgers this weekend, and well, that probably spells a win because of Rutgers' struggles, but nothing is a given in the Big Ten.
No, but we certainly need one for sure.
Well, what's coming up with the Illini Quarterback Club this week?
Well, we do have our regular luncheon. We're back at the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign this week. We had our luncheon a couple of weeks ago at Memorial Stadium, which went really well. Everybody had a great time. But we're back to our old location on Friday at the Hawthorne Suites in Champaign. The lunch will start at 11, and the program starts at 12. This week's assistant coach is Coach Ligashevsky, the special teams coordinator and tight ends coach. So he'll speak to our group. He will bring a player. We don't know who that will be yet, but he will bring someone. And our guest speaker is Illinois swimming and diving head coach Sue Nowitzki. So our group has never heard from her before, so that would be nice for them to hear about her program. So we're really looking forward to it.
You know, if I had a moment with Bob Ligashevsky, you know, I know some folks have seen some struggles with special teams, but one thing that hasn't struggled is Chase McLaughlin. So I'd say whatever you do, whatever you're doing, Bob, don't change a thing, because he's been automatic out there.
Exactly. I'm sure he'll talk about that. He's an interesting guy to speak to. Our members have had an opportunity to talk to him at some social functions before, so he's real entertaining.
And again, as a reminder, you do not have to be an Illini Quarterback Club member, right, to attend the luncheon?
No, you don't. We have members that bring guests all the time, and we really encourage that. We would love the guests to become members of the Quarterback Club. It's very inexpensive, and you can go to our website, IlliniQBC.com, and you can see all the things that we do, not only the luncheons, but the rest of the year. And we certainly encourage everybody to get involved.
All right, Todd, we appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us, and we'll look forward to Friday.
All right. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate it.
Marcus, I don't know if you were able to listen yesterday. We had Robert Rosenthal on from IlliniBoard.com, and he's just like, I've just got a bad feeling about Rutgers. I've just got a bad feeling.
Oh, man.
He doesn't like the matchup.
I heard that a lot during basketball season. I got a bad feeling about Rutgers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, so maybe there's something to that. You know what? It is. I mean, it's one of those games where you're expected to win, and you're not expected to win very often. And so I think it's natural to be a little bit nervous and thinking, oh, man, this could get really bad if we don't win this game.
11 a.m. kickoff before the Illini and Rutgers on Saturday. Our game day coverage starts at 9:30 following Saturday Sports Talk. All right, back to media day today. The Illini basketball team meeting with the media, and Brad Underwood talked with the group at length for about 36 minutes, I think it was, and then sat down for some interviews with some folks, including myself. Here's my conversation with Brad Underwood at Media Day.
Coach, how are you framing your expectations for the season with your players?
Well, I think that on a very simplistic term, get better every day. I think that's a small frame. But I also think it's the big one, because along with the process of trying to get better every day, there will be nights we're going to have more points on the board than our opponent, and that's the objective. Saying that we're going to come out and we're going to win X amount of games, I'm not that guy. That's not who I am. I think it's much smaller steps. And it starts with everyday guys. Get better every day. Let's work extremely hard. Let's become better teammates. Let's become the best player we can be individually, and along the way, let's have fun doing that. And I think when you put all that together, then the bigger picture comes into play. We haven't talked too much yet about long-term goals. We've talked a lot about just the simple process, and I'll probably keep it that way for a while.
Would you do that at all internally with your coaching staff or just with yourself?
No, I do it. That's the only way I can exist. If I get thinking too far ahead in terms of long term, in terms of games and practices, that'll take away from my effectiveness. I try to be as day to day as I can, in the moment as I can, from the standpoint that this team needs me to be as consistent as I can be, so that I can help make them better. And I try not to get too far ahead of that. We approach that with our coaches the same way. It's just about let's get our guys better today. And what we didn't do well is the day before, we're going to try to get them better that next day. And we really keep it that simple.
You mentioned you're not a big guy in lineups. With the system you run, does it necessitate more guys playing more minutes because of the pace you're going?
No question. No question. In a perfect world, I'd like to be at 9-10 guys. Pretty comfortably, and every night. Some nights it doesn't work quite that way. I think we're still trying to figure out the conditioning, how long guys play. That will play into that. You know, certain guys can play and recover quicker than others. So you've got to go a little deeper depending on. But I think you look back at my history. I've always been 9-10 deep, and I don't see that being any different with this group.
Historically, have you had many guys that'll go 35 to 40?
No. I always go back to, one of the best players I coached was Thomas Walkup. He's one of the best conditioned athletes I've ever had, and on a good night, he played 30. And that's what it takes, maximum effort for all of our guys to go in, and they may not be able to provide the points or the rebounding that the guy they're replacing does, but they can sure amp it and have the impact. And help their team by their effort, and that's what we try to preach.
So with that, barring anything unforeseen, does that impact how you may or may not redshirt anybody? Do you go into a season hoping to redshirt anybody? And I know you might not be ready to share that.
Well, I don't go into any season trying to redshirt someone. I think they're all good. I think they can all impact us. I think there's a variety of things that that actually play into that, and only time will tell as we continue to work forward. It's, to be very honest, it's not one thing that's crossed my mind to this point. And you know, I think you look last year. I had a young man on our roster that I didn't play very much first semester. By conference time, he had made great strides and was one of our leading scorers toward the end of the season. So I try not to get let that enter my thoughts and try to coach everybody to be the best they can be that day. And that's really the way I look at it.
And lastly, there's a lot of social issues going on right now in sports. The investigation, what will happen in college basketball. You have national anthem in the NFL. You have politics in our country. How do you address those things if all with your team? Do you kind of tell them to operate in a tunnel here? Do you want them to engage? Do you talk about it as a team?
No, we talk about it all. We've talked about the national anthem. We've addressed the situation in college basketball. You know, I don't dabble too much into the political world, but I think the world that we're living in every day, there's a lot of issues that that come about, and I think it's one of the ways that we build as a team, we grow as a team, is to talk about certain things. And I try every week to have one of those conversations, or to bring somebody in to talk to our team about things that are outside the realm of what we normally do, which is just basketball itself.
Somebody you could share that you brought in?
Yeah, I mean, we brought a gentleman in a gentleman named Scott Howard. He's done he's been in the NBA for 18 years. He talks to our guys about branding, about handling social media, about the way what they look for in terms of professional athletes. It goes, and that's just one case. You know, we'll bring in different guys throughout the course of the year, from law enforcement to former players. And, you know, we had Brian Cook at practice yesterday. We've had Jerry Colangelo, Manny Jackson, you know, guys that speak about their philosophies or what's helped them in life. The more information that we can give them about life and about real things help form their minds. And I think that's something that I always go back to this. I'm just a teacher. And we try to educate them the best way we can. And it does go beyond basketball. Most people don't know that.
Coach, thanks for your time. Good luck.
You bet. Appreciate you having me. Thank you.
I really do wonder, Brad Underwood, thanks to him for joining us, I really do wonder what those conversations have been, though, about all this swirling around. You know, what do they talk to? Did he have to get a team meeting together and just say, hey, guys, no need to worry? Does he just not address it? I don't know what you do as a coach there.
You know, I like the approach that he's taking it. I think Lovie Smith touched on this last year when it was around election time, and he said he wants his players to be engaged. They have conversations about this stuff, and they're a part of this community, this society as well. So it's their world, just like it is everybody else's. As much as everybody wants them to stick to sports and just shut up and go play ball, so I appreciate when coaches are encouraging their players and their athletes and their young men to get involved and to have a voice. And I think too at this time it's also a chance for them to be teachers. I think a lot of them would call themselves teachers, and you know, if you know, you talk to your players about this, and if they have questions about something, or if they might be going about something the wrong way, I think it's their obligation maybe to try to steer them in the right direction and make sure that they understand you know, the things that they're speaking out on, that they're going to have to, you know, support and make sure that they're educated on those things.
Want to share with you about something else that's very important, because there's all kinds of situations you may find yourself in, and ultimately you're going to know somebody that is in need of some help. And I'm talking about serious help here, whether you're a parent with a child that's struggling with addiction, or a friend of somebody, or maybe somebody you work with. Maybe you're a boss and you know one of your employees is struggling, or you're a healthcare provider and you come across it. I want to let you know that the road to recovery is now more accessible than it's ever been here in Champaign County. Talking about Rosecrans, for over 100 years, Rosecrans has been a national leader in addiction and mental health treatment. It's provided help and hope and lasting recovery to children, youth, adults, and families. Recovery from substance use and mental health disorders benefits everyone, the individual, the family, and the entire community. Your loved one can regain the hope for a bright future that comes with recovery. It all starts on day one. Rosecrans now provides addiction treatment for teens and adults here in Champaign County. Help yourself or someone you love take the first step toward recovery. For information, just give them a call, 217-398-8080. That's 8080. Or you can visit them at rosecrans.org. They'll give you a treatment referral. Most insurance is accepted. It's Rosecrans. Life's waiting. Marcus and I have more on Sports Talk right after this.
Fighting Illini Volleyball, 8 o'clock against Ohio State at Huff. Dave Lone has the play-by-play from Huff Hall here on the radio on DWS Friday night at 8.
Sports Talk, Scott and Marcus here. Speaking of volleyball, Chris Thomas today letting us know that senior libero Brandy Donnelly, her injury is not as bad as they expected. That's about as in-depth as he would go into it. But wouldn't rule out her returning this year, just kind of a day-to-day situation. But they expected, they were bracing for the worst, and apparently it's not as bad. No collision in that, what happened at Purdue, against Purdue on Friday night. But she's the only senior on the team, the libero, and one of the best liberos that Illinois has ever had. They've had several very good ones. I don't know if you caught it. I happened to catch a little bit of it on BTN on Friday night, and I mean, they were showing some shots of her. She just looked devastated, and I thought from the look on her face, she's done. Her season's done, just how emotional she was. So to hear that there may be good news out of this and that she may be coming back is encouraging for Illinois volleyball.
That is good news that you said that, because as you mentioned, she's a senior, and you don't want to see someone's career end on something like that. So hopefully she'll be back sooner rather than later, and she can enjoy these next few weeks.
We have some tailgate passes to give away for this week's game against Rutgers. The tailgate will open up at 8:30, so you can come on out and party. You do not have to go to the game or have a ticket to the game to go to our tailgate, so stay with us here. We'll have a trivia question for you coming up for a chance to head on over to our tailgate on Saturday before the Illini take on Rutgers. More from Illinois Basketball Media Day today. Caught up with LaRon Black.
Every day I'm happy. I just know that I'm blessed to be here. You know, so many things going on in the world. You got the earthquake in Mexico, the hurricanes in Puerto Rico and in Florida. It's just, that's why I smile, because I know for me right now it's a blessing just to even be here and not to be going through anything like that. We just loving life, and God bless me to be able to be here at this university on this campus. So why not smile when you got so much to be happy about?
Who's taught you that perspective of gratitude?
Oh, my mama. My mama and my grandma, my dad, my family. You know, that's all the way I was raised up. Just no matter what you're going through, make sure you keep a smile, because God gonna bring you through it, and he gonna make sure you see better times. And when things going good, you should smile even more, because you ain't got nothing to worry about.
Hey, how much are you smiling about this system and what's coming your way basketball wise?
Oh yeah, this is gonna be fun. I'm real excited to get to playing. We done had some good seasons, and I'm just ready to see how much better we can get this year and how much fun it'll be running up and down and playing with these new players we got, so many new freshmen.
And Coach has talked about a positionless basketball, so what does that make you?
Just on the court, just helping out as much as I can, rebounding, knocking down shots, making good passes, just playing the system, cutting a lot. We all work on cutting a lot, and that's something we all going to be able to do.
There's going to be some guys you'll see that are bigger than you, and you're one of the biggest guys on the team right now. How do you face bigger size?
Well,
in this system?
My freshman year, we played Purdue. Last year, we played Purdue. I feel like Purdue always been one of the biggest teams in the country. So I feel like we always been able to handle bigger teams, and especially this system, being able to run against bigger players should definitely help us, you know, hopefully tire them out or get them in foul trouble or something. But the way we play defensively, we're going to have to try our best not to – we deny. So the point is to try to make sure the bigs don't get any touches.
Coach has been working with you on foul or staying out of foul trouble.
Yeah, definitely. That's always been something I worked on. I feel like from my freshman year to last year, I got a lot better. When I got injured that second year, I was fouling because I was in pain, really. So last year was actually a lot better for me, I think. So this year I'm just going to keep trying to progress, and I'm trying to help the freshmen make sure they know that a lot of stuff that they did in high school is going to be called fouls.
LaRon Black today at Basketball Media Day. Marcus, what started that conversation is he's on the front of the media guide cover with this tough guy pose. And I've actually seen him a few times on campus just out, and he's like always smiling. And so it's, I just thought it was funny, this sort of imposing figure that's on the top and front. Same with Michael Finke. I mean, come on. I mean, they are, I'm not questioning their toughness here. I'm just saying it just doesn't look like their personalities.
LaRon's always in a good mood, and he's a neat kid. I know he had his issue back a couple years ago, but you know, all around, he's a good kid. He's as he alluded to in your interview there. He's just happy to be here, grateful for the opportunity, and I think he wants to make the most of it. He's grown up quite a bit. He's learned a lot, and you hope for his sake that he can stay healthy and stay on the court, because I think he's a really talented guy. He was a big time get when Illinois got him a few years ago. Has some other big time programs there, and we've seen some flashes of his potential, what he can do, and if he can stay healthy and he can really be a very good player.
How much truth in this statement? LaRon Black is the one guy the Illini can least afford an injury to.
I think that's probably pretty accurate, because they don't have a lot of beef on this team. You know, Michael Finke's going to play down there a little bit, but he's more of a stretch kind of guy. LaRon's going to get down there, bang around, fight for rebounds. He's going to, you know, challenge defensively down there in the post and make some things happen down there. You don't really have that. Kipper Nichols can do it a little bit. He's undersized at that. And then you've got a couple of young guys in Vessel and Eboik Boden, who are unproven yet. So I think that's pretty accurate, because you're deep in the backcourt. You've got some guys there, some depth there. So, yeah, LaRon Black is probably as important to this team as anybody.
The Illini, I think, are almost always going to be undersized, at least when it comes to Big Ten play. And that's not necessarily meaning it's a mismatch unless the big guys get a touch way down low. Mm-hmm. But you can still get after those guys by double teaming them immediately and really making it bothersome to get up to the basket. And then you have to deny the pass to the open guy that's eventually going to be there. But if LaRon goes down, I just don't think there's enough.
There's not. They're going to even have to get creative with LaRon in there with some mm-hmm. of their schemes and some of the things that they do. But if you lose that piece right there for an extended period of time, it's going to be really tough for them, and they're going to have to get creative again with, you know, how they do things in transition or offensively to make up for giving up points down low on defense.
Well, one of the more poignant comments from Brad Underwood today came when he was asked about being picked by some in the bottom half of the Big Ten, even down as 11th or 12th in the Big Ten this year.
Good. I got something to go to practice with today. Didn't know that. You know what? You guys got to have something to talk about. Everybody's got to have something to talk about. All I know is I got Southern coming up on the 10th, and I think this team's better than that. I think we're a team that is going to play hard, and when you play hard, you do it for 30 some nights a year. You're going to win your fair share of games. Most of the people that predict those things aren't guys that ever played the game themselves and know what it takes to improve and get better. But I understand. You lose Malcolm, you lose Maverick, you lose a group of seniors who went to the postseason. You got a new coach. It's pretty easy to do that. You know, four straight non-NCAA tournament appearances. That's easy. That doesn't take a whole lot of intellect really to make that pick. But we'll use it as a motivational tool for sure.
You buying what he's selling there?
In terms of them not knowing?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they knew. They knew what they were getting into. But I think it's certainly something they can use for your team. You know, it doesn't take a whole lot to fire 18, 19-year-old kids up and thinking that the world's against them. I think they all think that anyway when they go out on the playing field or on the court. But And in actuality, though, I mean, he probably knew to expect that. He mentioned all those things. Nobody outside of this bubble here knows what to expect from Illinois. I think people here are excited about what the potential could be. But if you're looking at it from a, from the perspective of someone, you know, say on the West Coast or on the East Coast, and you mentioned you lose Malcolm Hill, you lose a Maverick Morgan and some other guys, and you got a bunch of freshmen coming in and some unproven guys, and yeah, you're going to be picked to finish pretty low. And I'm not going to be surprised if this team is better than that, if they challenge to you know, get in the upper half of the Big Ten. But just from going in and looking at it, there's not a whole lot to go off. So yeah, you pick them low.
Yeah, one of the things that has happened historically with Brad Underwood's teams is they get better during a season. They get better and better and better. I mean, every team wants to and does that to some degree, but his really do. And he doesn't really expect his team to be as good in November as it will be in January and February.
Yeah, and he went in there and turned Oklahoma State around in a year. I think they improved. They were under 500 the year before, I think, and you got them to 9-9 in the Big 12 last year, made the NCAA tournament, and came within a couple possessions of beating Michigan there in the first round. So he's capable of doing it. He had an NBA point guard that helps when you've got a Juwan Evans on your team. But they've got some guys here that they're pretty excited about, so looking forward to seeing how those guys develop as the season goes on.
All right, told you about some tailgate passes for you to come hang out with us at the tailgate on Saturday morning before Illinois against Rutgers. And again, we'll have a trivia question here for you. You don't have to have a ticket to the game. It's open to the public in Grange Grove to come on in and hang out. So Marcus will do the honors here, since it's your second to last show, to ask our trivia question, and the number to call 356-9397.
In what city was Illinois' last NCAA tournament game played?
One more time.
In what city was Illinois' last NCAA tournament basketball game played?
All right, 356-9397. Good luck. Marcus goes out with a stumper. We're still looking for a winner, and I know if we've seen several calls already.
It's been so long since Illinois played in the tournament. Nobody can remember that far back.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah. Who or what city was the last Illinois NCAA tournament game held in? And kind of, the name of the city kind of has a relation to Brad Underwood.
There you go.
So yeah, maybe there's a little hint for you. Cubs still trailing 1-0. The Washington Nationals have put a runner on in the top of the eighth with one out. John Lester, by the way, came in relief of Jake Arrieta after Arrieta went four innings. And that one run, I called it an infield single. It was an error earlier off of Addison Russell. The Cubs have not been playing good defense in this series. So an insurance run for Washington over there. It's amazing to me the Cubs are up 2-1 with the lack of offense they've had in the defense.
Yeah, it's been that's the way it goes sometimes in playoff baseball, where you get these games where the pitchers really dominate, and the Cubs have found a way to scratch a couple across and win a couple games. But this looks like it's going to be one of those two. Are they going to have to find a way to manufacture a run or two?
If the Cubs lose this, I would assume tomorrow, then in Washington, it's Kyle Hendricks on the hill for them. And then if they manage to win game five, then, well, John Lester is pitching today. I imagine I don't know if you go to John Lackey. Do you go back to
Jake Arrieta
again? It'll be interesting to see how the Cubs work all this.
Got some decisions to make.
Joe Maddon.
Got to win this one, though.
You have to. I think so. And I don't think it helps you if you go extra innings here today either. So we'll see how it all goes. All right. Tomorrow, the swan song for you, Marcus. Your last show with us.
Does that mean I have to sing?
Oh, we'll make you do all kinds of things. So if you want to join us tomorrow and help say goodbye to Marcus, I know they roasted you over at the Esquire on Monday night, but we got to do it our style as well.
That'd be great. That was a mini roast.
That was a mini roast. Yeah. All right. Plus the MJs as well. Marcus is all about himself, I know, which is the total opposite of what everyone's been saying this week. So we will make sure that
I fooled them.
You get a proper ado. Thanks so much to everybody who's been a part of the program. Evan Connor, producer, engineer. Thanks to all the folks over at Illinois Basketball for the media day. We'll be back tomorrow. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS, Champaign-Urbana News Gazette Media Station. World News Roundup is next. Time at the Tone, 6 o'clock. Good night.